From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you on this fine Monday. Of course, Steve Ryman will be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So hope you'll tune in every day at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock with ABQ Connect. And today we're joined by my, I shouldn't say longtime friend, but 5-6 years I've known John Jones. He's been the president and CEO of LifeQuest. And John, I really appreciate our friendship. And we're talking today because you're about to depart LifeQuest and move to the Philippines. So we're going to find out all about that today.
Yes, we are.
Well, and John, I think this is funny. The very last thing I put on the sheet today, I'm going to read it right now. I said, John, knowing you, I believe you are always compelled by the Holy Spirit to share your faith in Jesus. And then I apologize in advance for the double negative, but you can't not share your faith.
I think that's a fair statement. I've had this conversation a lot because, you know, I just turned 68 in March, and I've had a number of people say, have you lost your mind? You're going to the Philippines. You're moving 8,000 miles away. I'm actually not moving. The plan is to spend 7-8 months there, a year, 4 or 5 months here. But and I think the answer is yes, I've lost my mind. But ministry is not what I do. It's who I am. Mm-hmm. And when I prayed 30 years ago, God, today I offer myself to you to build with me and do with me as you would. Yes. I prayed that with my mentor, and he looked at me at the end of the prayer and said, John, your life is now no longer any of your business. And I would say I've learned over the past 30 years, when you say that to God, he takes it very seriously. Mm-hmm. So no complaints. I have moments that I would say the best description where I'm at right now is I'm terrified and excited.
But you probably had those same feelings when you were just first considering being involved in ministry.
Oh, I yelled and screamed and wrestled and fought with God for weeks.
Because I know you were very successful in real estate. There were a few diversions, which I'm happy for you to share again today. Because, John, you know, let's get into it. Because I want people to... You're obviously going to continue to work with LifeQuest.
Yes. I'm staying on as a consultant. Exactly.
You introduced us to, the last time you were on here 4 or 5 weeks ago, you introduced us to Chance Butts.
Mm-hmm.
And Chance is a retired Marine, as I understand.
Yes, he is. And I have zero doubts he's the right man at the right time. And we'll take LifeQuest places I never could. And that's okay. I think what we've done is lay a really good foundation for him to build on. And I'm really excited about seeing where God leads Chance with LifeQuest moving into the future, because we're ready to explode, Jim. We're doing a lot of ministry right now. Kids in the juvenile facilities, our 413 journey, our weekly 414 meetings. You know, we have constant contact with about 150 kids a week right now. And with the new 413 journey launching in the fall, August, like that's the fall. But we've had inquiries from all over the state. We've had inquiries from other states about the 413 journey.
Uh-huh.
This thing could explode.
Well, John, I'm looking back to when you and I first met.
Mm-hmm.
Asked you to come on the radio, and you began to talk with us about the juvenile justice system in New Mexico. I believe at that time there were roughly 2,000 young people under mm-hmm. 18 that were incarcerated.
Right.
How long have you been serving with LifeQuest?
A little over 11 years now. April 1st was my 11-year anniversary, mm-hmm. and been an interesting 11 years.
Yeah. What does this mean to you? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them mm-hmm. wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? What does that mean for you?
That every young person we meet is created in the image of God, mm. that they have value for that very reason. Christ died for them, which puts a value on their head that can never be outbid. They just don't know it. And it's our job, our mission, to make sure they know it. We don't save anyone. We don't convince anyone. We love them. We share the gospel with them. We walk with them. We teach them. But ultimately, they have to make that decision. I mean, I believe God is constantly drawing people to himself. And but I've got kids now that they're not kids anymore. They're 24, 25 years old that I've been working with 7, 8, 9, 10 years, which is pretty awesome. And I'm sure I'll have contact with these young people for the rest of my life. I still get calls and emails and texts from kids I worked with at Youth for Christ over 25 years ago. But I firmly believe life is all about relationship.
I want our listeners to kind of make a note, mental note, actually write a note, whatever you want to do. But I want you to think about, if you're considering ministry, think about what John just said, in that he's invested his whole life in people. This is not like, I remember, and I'm embarrassed to ever share this, but I've done it a few times. You know, I was a zealous young man as a Christian, and I remember my first year out of high school. I was going to the University of Mexico. I was playing basketball, and I'd go down to the mall with a Four Spiritual Laws track.
Right.
And, you know, I was nice to people, but if I shared the gospel with you and you didn't immediately believe what I wanted you to believe, then I kind of went to the next person. Well, that wasn't really investing anything in anybody. And so ministry's really changed now, hasn't it?
Well, I hope so. You know, it says go forth and make disciples. That's the Great Commission, right? Not go forth and make converts. And I absolutely believe if I have the privilege of praying with someone to come to Christ and they make that decision to follow, I have an obligation. It's not someone else's job to disciple them. It's mine. I've built the relationship. I've shared the gospel with them. I'm the one who's been there that knows their story. They know mine. And the coolest thing about it is after a period of time, young people that I'm working with are no longer young people I'm working with. They become friends. And gosh, that sounds kind of familiar to a scripture, doesn't it? When Jesus says, "But I call you friend."
Yes.
So, and the greatest thing that's come out of my ministry are the relationships I've built with people, whether it's staff, whether it's volunteers, whether it's young people, whether it's donors, whether it's board members, whatever it might be, it's all about relationship. It's that simple. And when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment, what did he say? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The second closely following the first, love your neighbors yourself. Why we don't get this is about relationship, I don't understand. Well, I do. Relationships are, number one, they're sacrificial. They take time. And I have people say to me all the time, oh, I just don't have time to do it. And I'll say, nope, that's not it. We all get 168 hours a week. It's a priority issue, not a time issue. And I think we have to be intentional about building relationships. I think we have to be intentional about coming alongside people. I think we have to be intentional about loving them and sharing the gospel with them and just walking with them. And it's not up to me when or even if they ever make a decision to follow.
John, I'm so thankful in my life. I had two parents. They've both passed now. But my parents were at everything, and everything they did was for me.
Yes.
That's not the experience a lot of young people that you work with have had.
No.
So you, in the first couple minutes of our interview today, you used the word value. And the enemy doesn't want you to see yourself the way God does. The enemy wants you to say to yourself, oh, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drug addict, or
I'm worthless.
I'm not a good student, I'm worthless. And none of us are defined by our past, are we?
I would certainly hope not, or I'm in deep trouble. The reality is the enemy's constantly convincing you to let your worst moment define you. And it's funny you talk about, oh, I'm an alcoholic. Well, for me, that was a very good thing in the beginning when I started saying those words, because for the first time, I had a fellowship. I had other people that were just like me. The difference was they had found a solution to their problem. I had not yet. So, so suddenly, today I would describe myself as a grateful, recovering alcoholic and addict, and just celebrated 30 years clean and sober on Monday.
Awesome.
And it's always weird because everybody, oh, congratulations. And my mentor told me to just shut up and say thank you, but because I've always felt guilty because it's like, do I really deserve to be congratulated on finally becoming so miserable and so unhappy and so hopeless that I was willing to try anything, even God? I don't think I get to get congratulated on that. But all I can say is thank you. I mean, I'm so grateful to God for the people God put in front of me that loved me enough to hurt my feelings, that were compassionate, caring, loving, and walked beside me.
John, you told me maybe 2 years ago now, you brought Chris Youngblood in, one mm-hmm. of your board members, and you started talking about the 413 journey. You talked about shifting the focus from working with kids that were incarcerated to actually helping to not, you continue to work with them, but
yes.
you were also working with kids to prevent them from being incarcerated. And that's really a big change in the ministry.
It is. I think juvenile justice will always be the foundation of LifeQuest. I don't think we ever want to forget that and leave it behind. However, we talk for years, how do we get to kids before they get here? How do we get to kids before they get too far down the path? Because rarely do we meet a kid that, you know, woke up one morning and went out and shot somebody. There was a path to get there. There was a journey to get there. And so we launched what we called the 413 journey, which is just a 12-week program of teaching life principles, biblical principles. We talk about integrity and compassion and love and forgiveness and gratitude. And but we share those things with young people. And then every other week we do an adventure of some kind. We've been rock climbing and hiking and rappelling and we do an equine adventure, go horseback riding, and a musical adventure where the kids learn to play an instrument in a day and do a concert for their parents at the end of the day. Anything to engage them. And but again, the foundation is the program's just methodology. It's just a way to build relationships with another kid. And
when you talk about building relationships, mm-hmm. all this ministry is not done by John Jones.
No, absolutely
not. A ton of volunteers and great people.
We do.
That are basically, you're the coach and you're bringing all these people in and they're all sharing their lives with other kids.
And that's the beauty of it, is that we've got probably 30 plus different churches represented. We've got people from all backgrounds, people that come from drug and alcohol backgrounds, people that have never had a drink, people that, you know, have been in church all their lives, and people that have probably been walking with Christ for a couple years. So we've got all of these different people. But it's amazing how God will match a young person. They're drawn to a certain individual, a certain volunteer, a certain staff person for whatever reason, they see something in that person they like, they want, they need. And,
you know, there's people right now listening.
Yeah.
That I think would be excited to
take
a group of kids to hike the Grand Canyon or to go rappelling or those things. But they're looking at themselves and feeling disqualified somehow. And so they're very much like the kids that don't see value.
Sure.
And how can you encourage a possible volunteer that they have amazing value and that God will use their lives in a young person's life?
Absolutely. I hate to throw out Christian cliches, but this one's absolutely accurate. God does not call the equipped, He equips the called. Mm. So what I would say to people is if you're feeling a tug on your heart, if you're feeling God moving you, don't let fear, because we know fear, if perfect love casts out fear, perfect love being God, We know that fear is not of God. We know where that's coming from.
Yes.
And the enemy desperately, you know, I've shared this probably 1,000 times over the years. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. But the reality is we know the other voice too, because we listened to it for years. And he's still speaking in our ear. He's still trying to fill us full of fear and worthlessness and guilt and shame and all of those things. And to be able, when it says, when the Bible says, test the spirits, who's speaking? Who's talking here? And trust me, God will never put you in a place where you're overwhelmed with fear, where you're, you know, oh, I can't do it, I'm worthless. Oh, you've been too bad. You have no place with these kids. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And so what I would say is, God's got an amazing plan for you. And here's the other thing I promise all of our volunteers. We do this as part of our volunteer training. I love the fact that someone steps up and says, I'm going to sacrifice my time for a young person. I'm going to give of myself. And the amazing thing, and what you will find, and I promise you this, we use it with regards to tithing and financial giving, but you can't outgive God. And here's what I promise you. You ask any of my long-term volunteers, and every one of them will tell you the same thing. They've received far more than they've given. It's a beautiful thing. It's God's economy. It's the way God works. And the only issue is, will I trust God enough to step out in faith and follow that calling he's put on me?
John Jones, the president and CEO of LifeQuest USA in studio, good friend of mine. We talk frequently. And John, I've always enjoyed these meetings with you and talking with you. Love your life experience. Love your openness about sharing it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about next steps for you. We'll come back to LifeQuest as sure. We get later in the program, but I want to find out about where John Jones is going in our next segment. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Thank you for sharing your afternoon with us here on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you in studio with my good friend John Jones, President and CEO of LifeQuest in Albuquerque. John, here toward the end of the month, you're turning over the reins to LifeQuest USA to Chance Butts. What's next for John Jones?
Well, I'll be staying on as a consultant with LifeQuest, but the plan is for me in October to head to the Philippines in Manila and start not working with would be the wrong term, trying to help, trying to assist a ministry called KCM. KCM literally planted a church in the middle of the Tondo dump site in Manila. Tondo, the dump, houses 60,000 people, of which 40,000 are children.
Wow.
And it is a dump. It is a literal dump. And God took me there. My first trip to the Philippines, I'd gone to speak on addiction and recovery because drugs are becoming an increasing problem there. I've got a friend that's a missionary there. And I had 2 free days at the end of my trip. And so my last night, before my last day there, I'm just saying, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do tomorrow? And I just punched into the search engine Manila Ministries. And you know how something jumps off the page at you sometimes? Mm-hmm. I see KCM, and it jumps off the page. And I'm like, okay. So got the address, got up the next morning, got a cab, gave the cab driver the address. And he turned around and looked at me and said, sir, are you sure this is where you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. So he takes me down, and it's obvious I'm pulling up alongside the city dump, and he lets me out. And so the first person I see, I'm like, KCM? He shook his head, no. Second one, KCM? No. Third guy asks, oh, yeah, follow me. So he takes me back to KCM. It's got a welcome sign above the door, a hole in the building. And two ladies meet me as I come in, and they're like, could we help you? And I said, Yeah, I run a ministry in Albuquerque, New Mexico, in the United States, and I asked God where he wanted me to come today, so this is where he brought me. And who I met were Christine and Brenda, their sisters. Christine's a registered nurse. Brenda's a social worker with the church. And so Christine gives me a tour of the church, which is, it was just amazing. I mean, it's nothing like anything we would call a church, but there's scripture all over the walls, and I'm taking pictures, and I didn't even realize this. The very first picture I took, there's a sign in Tagalog, which is the local dialect. So I can't read it. But later on, I was looking through my pictures, and I saw it again, and at the bottom it says Mateo 5:28. And I went, wait a minute. And I, sure enough, so I used my translator, Matthew 11:28, which, Jim, happens to be the very first words I ever heard from God when I started seeking.
Wow.
I don't believe in coincidence, okay? Mm-hmm. So anyway, as Christine's showing me around and she shows me a little clinic where she provides medical help to the people in the dump, and she is the only medical help in the entire dump.
Wow.
But I asked her, I said, so Christine, what do you treat most kids for here? And she said, well, rat bites almost every day. She said, and I give them medicine to deworm them. And I was just, you know, you don't deworm kids, you deworm dogs, right?
Right.
But I found out later the main source of food for people that live in the dump, the mamas and papas know when the garbage trucks from the restaurants come in, and they go down and pick through the garbage and try to find any food that's salvageable, and they'll boil it trying to
Trying to kill the germs,
which obviously doesn't work. But they call it pagpag, and pagpag means literally translated to shake the dust off or to shake the maggots off. And that's how most people eat in the dump. But anyway, I spent probably hour and a half with Brenda and Christine, and then asked if it would be okay if I just walked around, and they said absolutely. But for the next few hours, I just walked around the dump and met people, and kids were running up and hugging me, the big American, right? But the overwhelming feeling I had was, how can this be okay? How can this be okay? How can this be okay with the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. And I went back to my hotel room and got on my knees beside the bed and just sobbed and said, God, I'm sorry. I had no idea how hard my heart had become. And God just crushed me, just crushed my heart. So I'd left my business card there, and about 2 weeks later, I get an email from Ron, he and his wife run KCM Ministries. They went there 16 years ago on a six-month missions trip, and at the end of their 6 months said, we can't leave here. And so they planted a church, and the thing I love about KCM, they're this beautiful combination of faith and works. They're sharing the gospel, they're discipling people. I'll get there in a minute, but at the same time, they're feeding 2,000 kids a week. They have a safe house for girls who've been trafficked, which is a huge issue, as you can imagine. A 12-year-old girl who's starving walking down the street in a car pulls up and says, hey, are you hungry?
Yeah.
And they have a scholarship program to send kids to college to get them out of the dump. In fact, I didn't know this at the time, but Christine, the nurse I met, was the very first kid they scholarshiped to college. She went off, got her degree, she became a registered nurse. She got a job offer at a hospital in the UK, and she turned it down to come back to work with the kids in the dump. But she and her sister grew up in the dump. So I'm like, wow, that's the kind of person I want to do ministry with. So that was in July of 2023. And then in January of this year, I went back for 3 weeks, but specifically to spend time with Ron and Joanna and spend more time in the dump. And I got to speak to the kids there. I got to speak to their men's group. And it was just a wonderful experience. And here's what's awesome. So there were probably 70 kids in their youth group. And it's funny because they're, in many ways, they're no different than our kids. Mm-hmm. They're laughing and joking and whispering to each other before. What's different is I did not, when I started to speak, have to say, please turn off your cell phones or silence your cell phones, because no one has a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And I've made this statement a number of times now. In many ways, the kids I met there and got to spend some time with there are generally happier than the kids we work with here. They're not worried if they're going to buy the new Nikes. They're not worried if they're going to get the new iPhone. They're not worried if they're going to get the new PlayStation. Their biggest concern is, am I going to get to eat today? So, funny story, I said, you know, when we do a youth event at LifeQuest, pizza's the big thing. We always, you know, that's been kind of the staple in youth ministry for 20 years, right? So I said, could I buy pizza for tonight? And they're like, oh, that would be so expensive. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I'd like to do that. I think we ended up buying 25 pizzas and it cost $92.
Wow.
So the American dollar goes a huge way in the Philippines. I think right now, 100 U.S. dollars equates to 5,700 Filipino pesos.
Wow.
So the dollar goes a long way. But anyway, so my last night there, I met with Ron. His wife was like 8.5 months pregnant, and he said, Joanna just wasn't up to coming tonight. I said, that's okay. So we sat down, and he said, so after spending 3 weeks with us, do you still feel as led to come here and be a part of what we're doing? And I said, Ron, let me put it this way. It's the only way I know how to describe it. I've been to recovering meetings all over the United States and all over the world. I mean, in 30 years. And whether I'm in Columbia, whether I'm in Ohio, wherever I might be, when I walk into a recovery group, I take a deep breath and it's like, whew, I'm home. Because that's where I met Jesus. I met Jesus in a recovery group room, not in church. Mm-hmm. And I said, when I walked into the dump this time, I had the exact same feeling. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I'm home. Nice. And that was just confirmation that the direction I'm headed is the direction I'm supposed to be headed.
What an adventure. John Jones, our good friend, president and CEO currently of LifeQuest in Albuquerque, is going to be leaving for KCM Ministries in the Philippines here in October. He'll actually turn over the reins to LifeQuest USA to Chance Butts. We've had Chance on the radio, and we'll continue to do that. I do want to give everybody this website. It's, I think it's called Kalayaan.
That's good, if you could pronounce
it. So it's KalayaanCM.org.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So if you Google KCM Ministries Philippines, it'll take you right to this. Again, KalayaanCM.org.
And Kalayaan in Tagalog means freedom.
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 Neat. More with John Jones on ABQ Connect. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you in studio with my good friend John Jones. John, I've actually had a couple friends of mine who have had children that got in trouble, you know, arrested or anything.
Sure.
Most recently, a young man down in Arizona was caught on the border, you know, transporting some drugs and some different things.
Right.
You told me immediately, you know, who to call down there, the chaplains at the jail. You gave me two names of churches. Their pastors went and visited this young man. And so, I mean, you know exactly how the system works, and really gave an opportunity for that young man to have some support, because it's got to be terrifying to be put in jail.
It is, though, you know, when you're a youth that's been out doing whatever, you're going to be tough. You're going to be, you know, and it's, again, back to the relationship. It takes time with these kids, because Number one, they pretty much don't trust anyone. Because in the streets, knowledge is power. Mm. And you can get hurt if other people know too much about you. So they're very hesitant to let people close, to let people in. And but again, that's where time comes in, just spending time with these young people. And not just, yes, preaching the gospel is a critical part, but if you do it the first day you walk in, they're going to look at you and say, oh, you're one of those. To get to know them, hear their story, to let them hear your story. And I think the best method of preaching the gospel is to share how you came to Christ. What's your story? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, part of when we train in three-story evangelism, part of that is write your rescue story. And it's amazing how many people struggle to do it. I understand it, but, you know, if to really sit down and think, what have I been saved from? Had a wonderful girl in my ministry at Youth for Christ, just really smart and beautiful and been in church all of her life, just a devout follower of Jesus. And she said to me one day, gosh, I don't have a cool testimony like yours. And I'm like, wait a minute. I said, you were born into this wonderful Christian family. Yes. You've been in church all of your life. Yes. You do prayer and meditation and Bible study at home as a family. Yes. I said, do you think your life would have been different if you were born to a crack-addicted mother on the south side of Chicago? And she said, absolutely. I said, do you think that you would have had the same experience at your age now that if you would have been born to that crack-addicted mother, do you think your life would be the same? Well, no. Is that anything but the grace of God?
Yeah.
I said, I think you've got an awesome testimony. Sure. I wish I had your testimony. But everybody's got a story. Everybody.
But I also want to ask you in the same breath, and you've said this earlier, but I want to clarify it for mm-hmm. the listeners. If you had a crack-addicted mother, mm-hmm. and maybe you were addicted to crack,
yes,
God wants to use you now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God wastes nothing, and your life has value. Where you've been, where you're at, how you got from where you were to where you are, that's your story. And believe me, I just heard this statistic within the last week. 85% of the kids locked up in New Mexico, it's been identified that their primary issue is substance abuse. 85%. That's kind of a big problem.
Okay, so that leads me to this. This is on my list. What do you have to say to young people? They're maybe high school seniors, probably sneaking a drink here and there. But they can't wait to turn 21 so they can go to the marijuana store or they can go buy booze.
First off, I would say you're way too late, Jim. This stuff's starting at 10, 11, and 12, okay? What I would say is you might as well light a stick of dynamite and start juggling it because that's what you're playing with. You have no idea. This argument about, oh, marijuana is not a gateway drug. 90% of the kids we talk to, if you ask them what's the first drug you ever used, they're going to tell you marijuana. And one of the things I was taught years ago is that alcoholics and addicts drink and drug essentially because they like the effects produced by alcohol or drugs. And what's the effect? They feel different inside. And all of a sudden, and I'll just speak to my own life, the first time I ever tried cocaine, which was my drug of choice, all of the shame, the guilt, the pain, all of that, it didn't go away, but I didn't feel it for a few minutes. But then when it wore off.
And the euphoria, with your description, doesn't last long.
No. Well, 30 minutes to an hour max. Then your option is, wow, I keep living with who I am and how I feel, or I go buy more. And I tell everyone the first time I ever tried cocaine, I believe I became addicted. In fact, I've said this from the pulpit of churches. I thought I had found God. I had found what I'd looked for all of my life. And the reality is drugs mimic the fruit of the Spirit. Now, doing drugs, you don't get peace. But if you're not quite as crazy as you were, it may be the closest thing to peace you've ever felt. Joy, well, I feel better. But it's not true joy. So, no, it's a very subtle, hideous, evil process. And, I mean, alcohol still is the most abused drug in the world.
Yes. And I think that the people that I know, I mean, I'm getting ready to have my 50th high school reunion.
Me too.
And I have a lot of friends of mine. We were all drinking together back in the day.
Sure.
But I know that a lot of them have passed away.
Yeah.
Already because of alcoholism.
You bet.
And nobody plans on being an alcoholic.
Absolutely not. And that it's what I tell the kids that are in lockup. I said, okay, which of you, when you were 10 or 11 or 12 years old, woke up one morning and went, man, I can't wait to go to YDDC. I can't wait to go to John Paul Taylor and be locked up and be told what to do every day and have my freedom taken away. Don't get many hands going up,
no,
Jim.
That's scary.
No, it is. But I guarantee you, and this is, I guess this is one of the things here, at least for a while, it's going to be the last time I'm going to be on with you. So I'm going to make a statement.
By the way God works, as soon as you say that.
Oh, sure. I'll be back. Yeah,
you'll be
next week.
Back 25 times now. So.
But New Mexico is a mess. Okay. In fact, when I left Illinois to come here, part of my thing was, well, I have no idea what's going on in New Mexico, but it's got to be better than what's going on here. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. From our judicial system to how we handle it. My mentor used to call it compassion run amok. We don't want to lock this kid up. We want to help them. We're going to put them in a community program, and we're going to, man, there's some kids that need locked up for their own well-being, for the well-being of the community. There's nothing wrong with being locked up. I've been locked up. Maybe it'll jolt them into some reality, or maybe they learn something, or maybe they attend a Bible study and hear something, and their life changes. But the bottom line is, and this is what I don't understand, that definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, and here's all I would ask. Are we better off today than we were 11 years ago when I got here? And the answer is no. No, we are not. And it's getting increasingly more dangerous. It's getting increasingly more violent. Funny story. So the first time I ever talked to Ron on the phone, he said to me, he said, John, in my 16 years here, no one has ever just showed up at the dump. He said, you know this is a dangerous place.
And Ron is the gentleman that runs,
yes, that runs KCM. He said, you know this is a dangerous place. And my response was, Ron, I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous place, too. So,
comment about that.
Oh, and it's true. All you got to do is look at the statistics.
But
it's frightening.
Is this thing so big that we can't change it?
No. No. Nothing is beyond redemption. Nothing. And it can be changed. But again, it's going to take some courage. It's going to take one of the things that changed my life was I was taught to take an honest look in the mirror. Who am I? What am I doing? What have I done? And because I only have two options, I'm either going to change or I'm going to continue on the path I'm on. And I would say, how about this? Here's a crazy thought. Let's take a look around the country and find some places that are having success in juvenile justice. Find some places that are doing really well in juvenile justice and invite them in and have a conversation. What are you guys doing differently? What are you guys doing to see more change? And I'm not casting stones at anyone. I'm just saying I think our lives, both individually and corporately, work exactly the same. If you keep doing the same things, you're going to keep getting the same results.
Yes, I agree with that. John Jones is the president and CEO of LifeQuest in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He is going to be stepping aside as the CEO and maintaining a position as a consultant with the ministry. He's been on the radio with us now very frequently for the last 4 or 5 years. You can go to lifequestusa.org to find out more information about that ministry. He's now going to be moving to the Philippines. It'll take a couple months for him to get everything together, but he's going to move to the Philippines and be part of KCM Ministries. Their website is KALAYAANCM.org. How do you say that?
Kalayan. Which means? Freedom.
And he's going to be working near Manila in the Philippines. And so, John, I'm just fascinated with your personal story. We're going to have one more short segment with you when we come back. So Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. Our final segment of ABQ Connect today, we're with John Jones, President and CEO of LifeQuest USA. John has been working with incarcerated kids and the most recent years working on preventing kids from being incarcerated. Again, wanting to encourage people that may not see themselves as God sees them. You're very valuable. If you're listening right now, you are very valuable and you are not defined by your past. And that's something that I learned from John. But I want to say, and I'm going to paraphrase something that you say frequently. There's a lot of people that are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be because of sin, because of things that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they have no value because they're a sinner. Well, guess what? We're all sinners. We all have something. But here's something that you always said to us. You'll frankly look at someone in the face and say, look, you're in this position because of your thinking. How is that working out for you?
Right.
How's your thinking working out for you? And you really want them to think about God's direction. What does God want for your life?
Right. Exactly. It's very simple. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I think God means exactly that. Our understanding is broken. How we think life works, how we think things should be. I know it did not work well in my life. And I didn't get this thing. I didn't come to Christ in a very real way till I was 38 years old, Jim. And I grew up in church. But to me, church was all about what happened after you died. You know, I pray the prayer and I get to go to heaven. But that wasn't Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer was, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. So it's not about going to heaven. It's about bringing heaven here. And that's when I went, oh. So I guess what I would say to everyone, here's any guy I sit down with in my office, I'll say, I'm going to let you in on the big secret. I know you're messed up. And you know how I know you're messed up? Because I'm messed up too. And here's the dirty little secret. We're all messed up. If we weren't, Christ didn't have to die. If you're still dealing with guilt and shame, you don't understand yet what's happened at the cross. You don't. Look, what Christ did at the cross either wiped it all out or it wiped none of it out.
But John, I want you to emphasize, if you would, and you've done this before for me in the past, this is not, there is some intellectual thinking here. There's some logic to what you're saying. But there's also a power called the Holy Spirit that most people don't even know what that is. So here's what I want to ask you. When you meet a young person, how long does it take you to see that that person is headed for trouble? Because you have some spiritual discernment. I want you to talk about that.
10, 15 minutes. How many times in that first 10 or 15 minutes do they tell me how they're so mistreated and how their life is so bad and how they and I and I and I and I. Anybody who's so wrapped up in themselves is headed for trouble. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to act out on that? Look, David says, in sin I was conceived. A lot of people don't like this, but it's reality. I mean, we're born as sinners into a sinful world. That's reality. I hear people say, oh, babies are so cute. They're so close to God. And I'm like, you ever watch put two toddlers together? Baby's first word is usually no, and its second word is mine. So I don't struggle with the fact that I was born into sin, and boy, I worked to really make it my own. But here's the other thing, and this is where, you know, your best thinking got you here. For 38 years, I tried to live life the best way I could to be happy. That took me to jail. That took me to a suicide attempt. That took me to a 10-year drug addiction. How foolish would I have to be to say, yeah, I can fix this? One of the things I was told was, John, you can't fix a sick mind with a sick mind. I needed people in my life saying things to me like, John, your best thinking got you here. How's that working for you? That's why I say people that love me enough to hurt my feelings. But they did love me. And you know how I know it? Because they took my call at 2 a.m. Because they met me for coffee a couple of times a week. They walked beside me and loved me enough to tell me the truth. And that's exactly what we need to be doing with our young people. Look, I would say any young person we make, are they, well, let me back this up. Because our vision and mission statement talk about incarcerated and at-risk youth. I don't think there's a youth living in New Mexico that is not at risk. And that includes the good kids. That's the kids sitting in church. It takes one bad decision. It takes one wrong turn to be headed down a completely different path.
Yes. Amen. John, we're about out of time. And I am disappointed because you and I could easily fill another 2 hours. I love talking with you. The Lord ministers to me through you. I hope our listeners have been encouraged. And thank you for the last 5 or 6 years being on the air with us.
I love being here. And if I could leave your listeners with this, the only thing that's keeping LifeQuest from taking that next step forward, there are two things we need. We need people. We need people to step up and volunteer. We could probably launch 5 4-13 journeys in Albuquerque next year if we had the people. So please, please prayerfully consider that if you felt your heart tugged on at all. And obviously the other thing is treasure. We need funding. We need finance to do that. But the thing you need to know is we are incredibly serious about being good stewards of the money that people have donated to partner with us. And the only issue we always have whenever we talk about more funding is how can we get one more kid or 5 more kids or 10 more kids? That's what it's about. Our ministry, LifeQuest, is about two things. It's about Jesus and it's about kids. That's it. It's that simple. And man, come join us. It's an awesome journey. It really is. You're really cheating yourself if you don't come join us.
LifeQuestUSA.org.
John, that's it.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.